We're in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Jump down to verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, so grateful to be your people. So grateful to be a people who can, through your word, have an eternal faith. A faith in things unseen. Lord, but we're grateful for your power and for your plan, that before the foundation of the world, you did have your church in mind. And Lord, one of the things that you're telling us is that you want our heart. You care about our desires, and you ask for our desires to be set on you. Lord, I just pray as we examine Jesus' teaching here, that the congregation would be encouraged and built up, knowing that if that is done, your will and you are being encouraged and built up. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 says, Jesus saw the crowds and he went up on the mountain. After he sat down, his disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and he began to teach. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now he says in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, let's turn over to Luke chapter 12. Brethren, there is nothing that we can store up on this life of the material that's going to last. You know, he who dies with the most toys does not die best. In Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16, he said that, and he told them a parable saying, the land of the rich was very productive. And he began reasoning with himself saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? You know, the Lord says, you fool, for this very night your soul is required of you. Not a single person in this world is guaranteed tomorrow. This very night your soul is required of you. You know, and maybe you've got big barns and they're full, but you know what happens to that stuff after you're gone? You certainly don't get to keep it. And the other thing we see here is that if you're still alive, there's no guarantee someone else isn't going to come and take it away from you. Okay? We've just seen recently with one of the three largest credit entry systems, Equifax, just decided to, without their knowledge, give out 100 million people's social security numbers, personal addresses, and things of that nature. Just out there, for anybody who wants to take advantage of it. And so if we're trying to build up materialistic things in this world, we certainly cannot take them into the next life. And there is no guarantee that we get to have them while we're here. Someone can come in and take them away. You see, Paul warns the Christian to be careful how he builds in his letter to the Corinthians. He says that the work of the Christian will be tested with fire. And whatever is not eternal and whatever is not spiritual will be burnt in that fire. And so Paul warns the Christian to be careful how you build. The foundation, the only one that can be laid, is on Jesus Christ. But we ought and have been warned to be careful how we build. And the only things that will be able to withstand the fire and even be refined by fire are spiritual, eternal things. You know, the Word of God, the New Testament, the inspired writings from which we get our doctrine, our letters written to churches, reproofing or rebuking or exhorting them to step it up to the Christian. Be careful how you build. Your work is going to be tested. And we can look at those letters specifically written in Revelation. You know, casual Christianity being exposed by the one who dwells in unapproachable light, saying, step it up. Casual Christianity, you know, being tested by our Lord. And Jesus is saying, repent, or I will yank the lampstand of your salvation out from underneath you. You know, for many years I've been eagerly involved in mentorship programs. You know, these last few years, more spiritually focused with Bible studies, but even in the business world, really trying to encourage people themselves to be better versions of themselves. You know, to strive to be more healthy. To strive to budget better. You know, so they're not having to put in the 60-hour work week in order to be, you know, in order to enjoy the weekend. You know, to set themselves up where life's easier for them, working on their own personal character, so when they're in the workplace, they'll be the best version of themselves. And one of the first places I always start with people is how they're using their time. And one of the first things I would always do with them is give them the homework assignment of mapping out what they did for an entire day. And then repeating that for every day of the week. And the thing that we always find, there is large amounts of wasted time. You see, if we want to answer the question, is what I'm building, is what I'm seeking eternal or earthly, a lot of times we can answer that by examining where we spend our time. The other thing is what we spend our time talking about. You know, I'm not picking on anybody from that participates in the Wednesday night groups, and everyone is different. And I know half of us are just scared to say the wrong answer. But, you know, it really surprises me sometimes. You know, I have been so encouraged, and I have been so built up by these classes on Wednesday. You know, there's sometimes we go a good 45 minutes and nobody says anything, you know, other than the person leading the class. And so I'm not picking on anyone, but the second we say amen, everyone stands up. They got lots to talk about. You know, really challenging ourselves. How are we spending our time? And what are the things that dominate our thoughts that come out in our language? Sometimes, in Bible studies, people who are new creations getting out there, trying to take the word out, say, you know, Nolan, how do you turn that conversation spiritual? Yeah, it seems like I got an opportunity with so-and-so at work. You know, what have you done to turn that conversation spiritual? There is no magic word. There is no magical phrase. And the thing that I, you know, continually try to advise and continually try to tell myself is if this is who I am, then this is what I'll talk about. You see, I don't worry about how I'm going to turn the conversation spiritual, because I know if I'm genuinely invested in that person, it will get there when the time's right. Because that is who I am. It's what's on my mind. It's what's on my mouth. Here in verse 20 in Matthew 6, Jesus says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." You know, I'm thankful for this sore knee I'm starting to get only at 32. Because it is a reminder for me when it's cold out or it's early in the morning that this world is not my home. And I know what most of you guys are thinking. Nolan, why don't you get back to us in a few more years and you tell us if it's more than just a knee. You know, but I'm thankful for those little reminders that, you know, this world is not my home and that my knees are not going to last forever. I have already lost my athletic, competitive basketball ability at 32. And I can still shoot and run, but I can't shoot and run with the best of them. You know, and I'm thankful, you know, for that reminder. You know, my mother just moved here from Nevada, and she lived in a neighborhood that was primarily built up of the Latter-day persuasion kind. And man, they are amassing physical wealth. I could not believe the number of motorcycles, four-wheelers, boats, RVs, pick-em-up trucks. It was amazing. And so I remember one of the first times I was there, I'm like, Mom, what's going on here? And she's like, they think they're going to take it with them. They think the Lord's coming back to set up a kingdom and they want to still go boating on the weekend. You know? And so I know at times it can seem like, yes, we understand that we can't take our boat to heaven, Nolan, but I'm telling you, this mindset is out there. And if it's not working on you, then understand that it's out there and keep that in your mind as you're working with others. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 20. Young ruler asking some good questions, to which Jesus tells him, you know the commandments. Don't steal, kill, destroy, covet. And it kind of goes on, gives him a list here. Verse 20, the young man said to him, all these things I've kept, what am I still lacking? Okay. His conscience is, you know, convicting him. And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Take care of the poor. Be perfect. Go and sell everything you have, and then you will have treasures in heaven. You know, one of the, greater than any treasure in this life. And one of the greatest materialistic treasures in this life, in my opinion, is that crumpled up $20 bill you pull out of your pants pocket after it goes through the wash. Like, that's about as good as it gets in this life for me. Ha! Lunch is on me! But the treasure in heaven, greater than anything in this life. Let's go to Matthew 25. Starting in verse 33, it says, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You see, brethren, these are the things that translate as spiritual, eternal riches in the heavenly places. To do good to those, and especially to those of the household of faith. Being kind. Seeing someone who's in need. And not merely pointing it out, but giving them what it is that they need. That will be rewarded with an eternal reward in heaven. You know, Revelation 19 communicates the marriage of Christ and His bride. And it says that the bride will be wrapped in the fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. The things that we do for the love that comes from a pure heart, those are eternal. And those are the acts that will be rewarded in heaven. You want to lay hold of eternal things. You know, a couple that kind of jump out to me preparing this, just by the way, a reminder, God's word is eternal. And souls are eternal. You know, if you're looking for something to kind of govern your life, looking for something to kind of help you get the new creation on track, God's word and souls. Those two things translate in both of these lives, here and into the next. When the roll is called up yonder, the souls of the world will be judged by the words of God. Psalms tells us that forever O Lord, your word is settled in heaven forever. It endures forever. You know, James exhorts us in humility to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. Cherish the word. Show that you are willing to devote your time to this word, the inspired words of God, which are going to go on in to the next life. You know, I crunched some quick numbers before I got here. 10,000 minutes in a week. 10,080, I think, something like that. 10,000 minutes in this week. You cannot fight 10,000 minutes a week in this world and say, I'm not of it, with 30 minutes a week reading the Holy Word. You just can't do it. You cannot fight a week out there with a sporadic Bible reading plan. You see, because it's the Word implanted that has the power to save your soul. We've got to get it in. Cherish the Word because it is eternal. Brethren, we also have got to cherish souls. Lorenzo has that God is great moment reading those miracles. And in my Bible reading this week was Jesus is on the cross and he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a merciful, forgiving God we have. Souls on his mind. Not wishing for any to perish. You know, Jesus comes up and he's overlooking Jerusalem and he sees the destruction coming at hand and he cries. Overtaken with sadness and he cries. But then he goes into Jerusalem and he walks into the temple and he drives Satan out of it. Brethren, we have got to love souls. We've got to look over Billings, Montana, and it's got to shake us to where it brings tears to our eyes. But after it does, then you get out there and you drive Satan right on out. Build up your brethren. There is some good stuff going on in this congregation in Billings, Montana, because I believe you guys are praying for each other. Brethren have been praying that the word would spread rapidly for years. Brethren, praying for each other. I talk to you guys. I believe it. I know it. Brethren, we are praying for each other. Great things coming, but that's getting us set on building each other up. Equip the saints until we attain the unity of faith. The fullness of Christ. Brethren, these things translate into the next life. You know, Jesus put the church before everything. Jesus put the church before himself. I think that was Josh that read out of Philippians this morning. Like, Jesus is in heaven. Left that all so he could come down here. How many of you live here and think it's great? Like, he left perfect his throne, heaven, to come down here because he loved us. He put, not only when he was here, brethren, did he put the church before not only his life and everything else, he gave up everything to be here. What are we willing to give up? The Lord died so we might have an eternal reward, brethren. Matthew 6, verse 21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't be fooled. Your little heart is going to follow wherever that treasure is. Wherever that treasure is, your heart will follow. If you went the wrong way, if you're headed down the wrong way, it reminds you of the end of the book. You know, I know this never happened to any of you guys because you were really, really good kids growing up, but just try to imagine. You got in trouble. And so mom set you in the dining room when the party was taking place in the living room. And you're just far enough removed where you can hear everything, but you're not a part of it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if we go down the wrong path, brethren, we don't want to get put in that room off to the side when the party's taking place. You read Revelation, there's a party. You make it into the next life. The eternal reward is the presence of God, who is all powerful. To be in his full glory. It'll be a miraculous day, a culmination of a miraculous eternity. But I just want us to be real for a second. You know, and I just remind you, if I ever step on your toes, I came up with these examples from things that have happened to me. Okay? But when have we turned down the Saturday dinner invite that a brother or sister graciously extends to us because, in all honesty, it might be a little awkward. Maybe we don't know them all that well. Don't know where they live. Whatever it may be. It might be a little awkward. But then we're over here moving Bible studies and canceling meetings because there's some rock concert in town. Boy, we're going to make sure that that happens. I've been late lately. And maybe not necessarily to the assemblies, but maybe Bible studies, meetings I have, some assemblies. And if not late, I mean like I'm running in as we're getting ready to start songs. And that's not okay. But if someone told me, Toby Mac, he's the only guy I can think of right now, he's a famous Christian singer, was going to be here tonight. He was in Billings, Montana, and he had called ahead and said, hey, Jared, I'm going to be in town. Where should I assemble? And he says, well, come out to 48th Street Church of Christ. Would I be late? I'd be early. I'd be really early. Now, mainly not because he was here performing, because he was going to be in attendance with us. I got lots of questions I want to ask him. Right? But who's more important? Your brother and sister in Christ who asked you to come over for dinner on Saturday or the rock concert? I mean, these are little things that I catch myself doing that I try to go back and reflect on. What is eternal? What is spiritual? Now, and so in the example, those people, the rock band, they are souls as well. But it's where we're taking ourselves and what we're willing to sacrifice to get there. All of a sudden, I'm too busy on a Saturday to make it over to dinner, but thank you, but I will move everything weeks in advance to purchase them tickets to make sure I make it to the concert. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, will be devoted to the one and despise the other. I mean, Romans says it flat out. The mindset on the flesh is hostile to God. I actually just found out that there's a monument at Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico, where all four of those states come together and you can kind of stand in one spot and be four places at once. Okay? That's not how this works. You don't get to have both feet, one in the world and one in the kingdom. Because you will be devoted to one, and you will hate the other. Hebrews does tell us flat out, be careful that your character is free from the love of money. Now, the Lord's judgment is communicated as a great fire, and that fire is meant so that it will reveal the true hearts and desires of mankind. Let's go to John chapter 6. Jesus has fed 5,000. Verse 26, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You see, there are intentions of the heart, and Jesus came to expose them. And his judgment is communicated as a great fire, because that is exactly what it is going to do. Whatever the facade was that the world and the people who are falling away have put on the outside will be exposed by this fire, and the things that are eternal will only be the ones that survive. And our true wants and our true desires and the true nature of our heart will be revealed. And so Jesus calls these guys out. You're following me because you're filled. You're hungry. Okay? And he goes on to say in verse 66, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away also, do you? I mean, there's a lot of people dropping off here. He looked straight to the apostles and said, you guys going to take off too? And Peter gives him a great answer. You have the words of eternal life. We have to be careful to fall prey to that mindset of, oh, well, this won't happen to me. You know, I can handle it. You know, I can have a little world on the weekend and, you know, a little God's kingdom the rest of the week. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I think about Demas. The guy makes it in 3 of Paul's letters as a brother. You know, we find out later when he writes to Timothy, which was written later than the other two, that he has deserted Paul because of his love for this present world. A world that Paul would write to the Galatians and say is a present evil age. And the point is, that didn't happen overnight. Okay, Judas didn't, at the thought of 30 pieces of silver, just wake up and think that that was enough to betray the Son of God. Demas didn't fall away overnight. This is something that happens through the influence of Satan, getting us to get our mind down on the earth a little bit and on fleshy things a little bit over a span of time. That just encourages us to be honest with ourselves. You know, and that's what the Word's for. Brethren, it's the Word that convicts us. It's the Word that's the impartial judge. It's the one that can see past the log that's in your own eye if you're willing to read it, to examine the true desires of your heart. Back here in Matthew chapter 6, back up in verse 22, Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Then the light that is in you is darkness. How great is the darkness?" Yeah, I do think there's a couple lessons you can pull from this. Okay? You know, one, if the eye's good, the body's good. You know, James speaks about the tongue. That if he is able to bridle his tongue, can bridle his entire body. But you see, if you can't bridle the tongue, then you ain't gonna finish the rest. And so I do think there's a lesson here that Jesus is teaching. If your eye is good, the whole rest of your body is good. He says if your eye is bad, the body is full of darkness. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But brethren, both of those things come from what we put in. Whether it's the condition of the eye, or whether it's what we're gazing and looking at. The eye controls the health of the body, and it does it by what it's looking towards. Here in verse 22, he said that the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Brethren, what is the Christian seeking for? What is it that we are looking towards? What is it we have set our gaze intently on? And Scripture tells us, be looking for the glory of Christ in His Word, reflecting it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, in Hebrews 12, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Brethren, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. And Jesus did the very same thing by fixing His eyes on the joy set before Him. And He tells us in John chapter 5, and not only there, but He says, "I can do nothing of my own initiative, only that which I see the Father who sent me." You know, Jesus was able to live this life perfectly because He only did as He saw the Father doing. And that just reminds me, every move, every single miracle, every single thought, every tear, everything Jesus did in perfect harmony and accordance with the will of the Father in heaven. And Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who because of His example is the author and perfecter of our faith. But it says break free from those sins that so easily entangle us. Break free from that. Set your mind on things above. Eternal things. Things that are going to last forever. And march forward. I can still picture Damien coming down that bunny hill last year, the school ski trip. And there's a little barrier that separates the bunny hill from the real hill. And about two times when I went by on the chairlift, he was underneath that barrier. You know, just kind of, you know, stuck under there. And that's because he was going right and he didn't know how to go left. And so I see him, and so I come down, and the instructor just keeps telling him, look where you want to go. Look where you want to go. You know, and it took a few times, but sure enough, he's getting close to that barrier, and he's just like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, and then he forgot again, but I just keep hearing those words, you know, a year later echoing. Look where you want to go. Yeah, it worked for Damien, but Brother Nick, it can work for you. Yeah, look, you are going to go where you're looking. I just encourage you, break free from whatever's entangling you. Set your mind on things above. There's lots of hours and minutes in the week. And brethren, there's a lot of great things that the church is doing, specifically here in Billings. But just encourage you to get your mind set on things above and see where your desires and your treasure is. Okay? The Lord will reveal all things in the last day. Flee from earthly desires and pursue righteousness from a pure heart. And the only place you're going to find it is above, where Christ is, where His righteousness is, and His kingdom is, and where you are seated. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Thank you.